Star Tide Rising, Cassette 2.
Chapter 7. Toshio. There was a ship involved, of course. All of his dreams since the age of 9 had dealt with ships. Ships, at first of plasteel and jubber, sailing the straits and archipelagos of Calafia, and later, ships of space. Toshio had dreamt ships of every variety, including those of the powerful galactic patron races, which he had hoped one day to see. Now, he dreamt of a dinghy. The tiny human dolphin colony of his homeworld had sent him out with Aki riding on the Outrigger, his Calafian Academy button shining brightly under Alf's sunshine. It started out a balmy day. Only soon, the weather darkened, and the sky all around became the same color as the water. The sea grew bilious, then black, then changed to vacuum, and suddenly there were stars everywhere. He worried about air. Neither he nor Aki had suits. It was hard trying to breathe vacuum. He was about to turn for home when he saw them chasing him. Galactics, with heads of every shape and color, long sinuous arms, or tiny grasping claws, or worse, rowing toward him steadily. The sleek prows of their boats were as lambent as the starlight. "What do you want?" he cried out, paddling hard to get away. Hadn't the boat started out with a motor?
"Who is your master?" they shouted in a thousand different tongues. "Is that he beside you?"
"Aki's a Finn. Finns are our clients. We uplifted them and set them free."
"Then they are free," the Galactics replied, drawing closer. "But who uplifted you? Who set you free?"
"I don't know," he screamed. "Maybe we did it ourselves."
He stroked harder as the Galactics laughed. He struggled to breathe the hard vacuum.
"Leave me alone. Let me go home."
Suddenly, the fleet loomed ahead. The ships seemed bigger than moons, bigger than stars. They were dark and silent, and their aspect seemed to daunt even the Galactics. Then the foremost of the ancient globes began to open. Toshio realized then that Aki was gone. His boat was gone. The ETs were gone. He wanted to scream, but air was very dear. A piercing whistle brought him around in a painful, disorienting instant. He sat up suddenly and felt the sled bounce unhappily with the motion. While his eyes made a blurred jumble of the horizon, a stiff breeze blew against his face. The tang of Kithrop greeted his nostrils.
"About time, ladder runner. You gave us quite a scare."
Toshio wavered, then saw Hikahi floating nearby, inspecting him with one eye.
"Are you okay, little sharp eyes?"
Yes, I think so."
"Then you had better get to work on your hose. We had to nip it to give you air."
Toshio felt the knife-edged cut. He noticed that both hands were neatly bandaged.
"Was anyone else hurt?"
he asked, as he felt through his thigh pocket for his repair kit.
"A few minor burns. We enjoyed the fight after learning you were all right. Thank you for telling us about Sassia. We'd never have looked there had you not been caught."
"They are cutting her loose now."
Toshio knew he should be grateful to Hikahi for putting the misadventure in that light. By rights, he should be getting a tongue-lashing for rashly leaving formation and almost losing his life. But Toshio felt too lost to allow himself even gratitude to the dolphin lieutenant.
"I suppose they haven't found Phippet?"
"Of him there's been no sign."
The slow rotation of Kithrop had taken the sun past what would look like 4 o'clock, Earth time. Low clouds were gathering on the eastern horizon. There was a choppiness to the water that had been absent before.
"There may be a small squall later," Hikahi said. "It may be unwise to use Earth instincts on another world, but I think we have nothing to fear."
Toshio looked up. There was something to the south. He squinted.
There it was again, a flash, and then another. Two tiny bursts of light followed in quick succession, almost invisible against the sea glare.
How long has that been going on?
He gestured toward the southern sky.
What do you mean, Toshio?
That flashing, is it lightning? The Finn's eyes widened and her mouth curled slightly. Hikahi's flukes churned, and she rose up in the water to turn first one eye, then the other, toward the south.
I detect nothing, Sharp Eyes. Tell me what you see.
Multicolored flashes, bursts of light, lots of... Toshio stopped wrapping his air hose. He stared for a moment, trying to remember.
Hikahi, he said slowly. I think Aki called me during the fight with the weed. Did you get anything over your set?
No, I didn't, Toshio. But remember, we Finns aren't yet so good at abstract thought while fighting. Try to recall what he said, please.
Toshio touched his forehead. The encounter with the weed wasn't something he wanted to think about. It all blended in with his nightmare, a jumbling of colors, noises, and confusion.
I think he said something about wanting us to keep radio silence and come home. Something about a space battle going on?
Hikahi let out a whistling moan and flipped out of the water in a backward dive. She was back immediately, tail churning.
Close up, lock up, go the other way, then up.
Sloppy trinary. There were nuances in primal Delphin which Toshio, of course, couldn't understand, but they sent a thrill down his spine. Hikahi was the last Finn he would ever have expected to slip into primal. As he finished wrapping his air hose, he realized with chagrin what his failure to tell Hikahi earlier might have cost them all. He slapped his faceplate shut and flopped over to press the buoyancy valve on the sled, checking simultaneously the telltales on his helmet rim. He ran through the pre-dive checklist with a rapidity only a fourth-generation Calathian colonist could have achieved. The bow of the sled was sinking quickly as the sea erupted to his right. Seven dolphins breached in a spume of water and exhaled breath.
Sas is tied to your stern, Toshio. Can you shake your leg?
Kipiro urged.
Now is no time to dawdle making up tunes.
Toshio grimaced. How could Kipiru have fought so hard earlier to save the life of someone he ridiculed so? He remembered the way Kipiru had torn into the weed, the desperate look in his eye, and the glow it had taken on finding the sled. Yet now he was cruel and taunting as ever. A sharp blast of light flashed in the east, searing the sky all around them. The Finns squealed almost as one, and immediately dove, all except Kipiru, who stayed beside Toshio, as the eastern cloud line spat fire into the afternoon sky. The sled finally sank, but in the last instant, Toshio and Kipiru saw a hurtling battle of giants. A huge arrowhead-shaped space vessel plummeted down on them, pitted and fiery. Windswept trailers of purple smoke boiled out of great gashes in its sides to be flung back into the needle-narrow shock front of its supersonic flight. The shockwave warped even the shimmer of the great ship's defensive shields, shells of gravity and plasma that sparkled with unhealthful overload. Two grapnel-shaped destroyers dogged it no more than four ship lengths behind. Beams of accelerated antimatter flashed from each of the trefoils, hitting their mark twice in terrible explosions. Toshio was 5 meters below the surface when the sonic boom hit. It slammed the sled over and kept it tumbling amid a roar that sounded like a house caving in. The water was a churning maelstrom of bubbles and bodies. As he struggled with the sled, Toshio thanked infinity he hadn't been at the surface to hear the battle passing by. At Morgren, they had seen ships die, but never this close. The noise finally settled down to a long, loud growling. Toshio got the sled righted at last.